And Gunashchish for being here with us today. You're listening to Juno Afternoon, and I'm Rhonda McBride. Health sciences, especially when combined with information technology, holds a lot of promise for those in search of good-paying jobs. The University of Alaska Southeast has a lot to offer in that area to help students get their start. And joining us now, we have Amy Samuel. She's the Health Sciences Associate Professor and Medical Assisting Program Director. She works out of Fairbanks, and she's joining us via Zoom. And we also have Katie Sill, who is the Sitka Campus Academic Advisor, joining us from Sitka. So we are, through this interview, being very high-tech today, right? It doesn't matter where we are. We can all be a part of the same thing. So, Amy, why don't we start off with you, and you, if you could tell us about the array of professions that we see today. In the past, we pretty much saw that health professions were doctors, nurses, assistant nurses, RNs, LPNs, but what is that spectrum like today?
Rhonda, thanks for having us. Healthcare has changed so much, not only because of the pandemic, but just because of technology and the opportunities that we have. And so healthcare really is a team-oriented role right now. Everybody kind of works for the benefit of the patient, and you have somebody navigating your healthcare process and your needs. There's a lot of different areas that healthcare workers can work in: inpatient care, like hospitals and nursing homes; outpatient care, like doctor's offices, clinics, urgent care centers, and even home care. If people need home care, we have programs that help train people for that. And all of those will have aspects of telehealth and remote visits with your provider, you know, in some aspect to expand that team care coordination.
So is it kind of exciting, Amy, to be in a profession that is evolving constantly just because of technology? I mean, you are operating out of Fairbanks, and how does that work for you?
Well, I look at it as really a great opportunity for our medical assisting students. They may live in an area where they're on an island or in a village, and they don't necessarily have access to a road to drive to campus. And so they can attend classes where they're at and participate in our program just in a limited capacity in person. We do have some in person, which is 4 days twice a semester for medical assisting, but it really allows them the flexibility to stay in their communities with their families. Some of them already work in healthcare. They're able to maintain their job. So it really opens up a lot of flexibility for students who are in those remote areas. That's our focus.
That's really exciting. Hi.
I wanted to chime in a little bit because Amy's job is very unique when it comes to professors in the university system, even though her home base, where she lives, is technically in Fairbanks. She serves statewide, traveling across Alaska to bring those learning opportunities to students so that they can have that in-person experience and make sure that those skills are being delivered and assessed appropriately so the students can have that credential that they're earning as medical assistants. So yes, a good portion of the medical assisting degree is online, but there are those in-person components as well. And students work very closely with Amy, no matter where they are in the state, to make sure that they're staying on track and that they're cared for.
Well, that's a great reason for the technology. You know, that technology has opened up those opportunities for students and for, you know, even if I lived in Sitka or in Juneau, our students aren't only there, they're all over, which is a great reason how not only in the medical field has technology helped, but in the educational field as well.
Right. And the other thing too to point out is a lot of courses, even in the high school curriculum, they're hybrid courses. Some are done remotely for a period of time, and then people come in for a few weeks at a time. I'm thinking of the College of Rural Alaska. You know, they have a lot of colleges that work that way, that the whole semester mostly they're in their home location, calling in, Zooming in, and then they come in for the hands-on work that they need to do. It sounds like this might be an option too for people.
Yeah, absolutely. It does allow that flexibility. Technology and online or hybrid learning is not for everybody. So a student should really consider whether this is the right method for them. If you're in a remote area, it does open up those opportunities that you may not have if you don't live in downtown Anchorage or, you know, in one of these bigger cities. So there's positives and negatives both.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Sitka, Katie, because it seems like that's a hub for a lot of rural communities that are not on the road system. And so it must be wonderful to be able to train people to get services that those communities need.
Yes, historically, the University of Alaska Southeast, Sitka campus, and Ketchikan campus as well are very much plugged into the rural communities that they serve and are kind of leaders when it comes to distance learning and education. Even before the pandemic, we were on top of the game when it came to making sure that equitable education resources were available to people in remote locations. And so when the pandemic hit and everything shifted to online learning, it wasn't much of a disruption for us because we were already well-versed and familiar with those processes. There were, you know, naturally some things had to shift around a little bit, but it wasn't as big of an upheaval as it was for some other institutions who had to start from the beginning and try to figure out how to do online learning for the very first time.
And I think, too, that this Zoom period of time during COVID got more of us acquainted with this. And while I'm kind of glad to be moving away from Zoom in some ways because there is too much of a good thing, people are well acquainted with how to use this technology. And so I imagine, Amy, maybe you want to take a stab at this, that our pandemic period has primed us to take advantage of more opportunities.
Yeah, it's actually, we had a curriculum revision this spring, and it's now part of our curriculum mandated by our accrediting body. So telehealth is here to stay. The pandemic is something that definitely brought that to the forefront. However, Alaska's been doing this for a while. We have the ability to put a stethoscope on a patient in a remote area, maybe in Haines, and have them connect with a cardiologist in Bellingham. Or, you know, if there's a specific need, we've had this technology around. I think the pandemic has just highlighted it and expanded it a bit.
So what kind of things are you getting, are you pointing students towards right now? What things might they not be aware of that they should look into if they think that a health career might be for them?
So typically when a student comes to me to talk about the prospect of going to college to pursue a healthcare career, I usually go through a series of questions that center around like, well, what do you envision your work-life balance to be like? How much time are you interested or available to or able to invest in your academics at this point? UAS serves a wide variety of students, from the traditional college-age students just out of high school all the way to adult learners who are trying college for the first time or coming back to college for a career change. And so it's very important to get to know where the student is at in their life and what they're prepared to get themselves into, because a healthcare study course is not easy. It at any level, it is a big time commitment and it is an investment. And there are sacrifices that do get made when it comes to, like, maybe we don't go on vacation or something along those lines, because you really do have to put education as a priority. And so it's an important conversation that I have. And depending on what the student tells me, then we kind of navigate that conversation from there. A lot of students, I think, don't understand that medical assisting is an option to them. And so I do spend a lot of time talking to them about nursing school versus becoming a certified medical assistant. And Amy, you can talk about the differences and what to expect in the those lifestyles, work-life balance and everything, because you are a medical assistant.
Yeah, and I would totally agree with your opening statement, Rhonda. People know what a nurse is, people know what a doctor is, but they don't know all of the other roles that we have. And so at UAS, we have a lot of different opportunities to fill those roles for those healthcare teams that are needed. And so you might be a biller and coder and send the claims to the insurance company, or you might be a medical assistant that greets patients at the front and brings them back and does their vital signs and maybe draws their blood or swabs their throat and sends a referral for physical therapy. So yeah, we have a lot of different roles. Medical assisting in particular is great because we're so versatile and we can fill a lot of those roles of the needs of providers, whether it's a big clinic or whether it's a small clinic, and we work very closely with the providers and getting patient care to what they need.
That's so interesting, though, that there are all these opportunities, and a lot of people might think of a medical assistant maybe as a low-paying job, but because it does require more and more skills, what kind of salary can someone expect to make as a medical assistant?
I'm seeing the Southeast region medical assistants coming out and usually getting around $22 to start. That's also the Department of Labor, State of Alaska number, about $21 or $22 an hour to start. It's easily goes up with the credentialing exam behind their name. And then also, you know, I've also seen students coming out $25, $26 an hour. And so there's a quality of life where you don't have to work night shift. You often don't have to work weekends or evenings if some availability is available for urgent care. But, you know, it's a great starting wage for someone who is wanting that work-life balance.
Okay. It's also a good stepping stone for further education. I want to get this out there, too, for someone who wanted to go to school to be a PA. A lot of our students who do want to continue their education need hours on the floor or working in these environments in order to qualify for those further education opportunities. And Amy has had students go on to medical school to pursue their doctorate or their doctor's degree. That's not the right term, but at the end of the day. So, but it is a good way for students to be able to experience a healthcare career with a less demanding schedule and also get those hours if they choose to continue their education moving forward.
That sounds great, because I suppose a lot of students are in a position where they can't be in school and give up an income totally. So perhaps they could get to one of the stepping stones, earn some money. Maybe those credits that they earn for the first stepping stone apply to the second, and so they can keep moving up. Is that what you're talking about, Katie?
Yes. Yeah, so like, for example, if a student did want to go on and go to nursing school, for example, they want to become a BSN, then the medical assisting credential that they receive, becoming a CMA, certified medical assistant, is a bonus to their application for nursing school. Anybody who you talk to about nursing school can tell you how fiercely competitive it is. And so any leg up you can get is an advantage. And so having that background as a medical assistant can really not only give you the work-life balance that you're looking for, that nursing school may not provide, it may not be the right time for you because you have dependents, you have kids that you got to take care of, or you're working multiple jobs trying to, you know, manage how expensive it is here in Southeast Alaska. But at the end of the day, being a medical assistant is a benefit because you get that experience that helps make you a more competitive candidate for whatever further education you want.
So Amy,
or it could be
in here and say that we have a lot of people who are working as uncredentialed medical assistants and their employers help get them through school so that they're eligible to sit for their credential. A lot of employers are very supportive of education and they have either, you know, grants or ability to help with tuition reimbursement. So even if people are already working in the field, it's a great opportunity for them because they can take advantage of those resources that their employers will also give them.
So Amy, I want to ask you this, is how is UAS positioned to oversee this kind of curriculum? Because it seems like some of what they're doing is fairly new, or am I under the wrong impression? Just how this program is expanding.
Yeah, our program has been down in Southeast. I started the program 8 years ago. It's always been in a hybrid format to meet the needs of the communities of Southeast Alaska and in rural areas of Alaska, such as Kodiak and Kenai in those more rural. I've had students all over the state from tiny villages, and I've had them in Southeast. So we have definitely served those communities with the employers and and I think that our model is specific to Alaska. That said, we are nationally accredited, and we've gone through a process where we have met certain standards and guidelines that are required by every accredited program in the United States. Both Anchorage and Fairbanks medical assisting programs are also accredited through the same organization. So we have had site visitors come and look at our resources and talk to our students and our graduates. So we have met the same quality of education that all of those same, you know, schools in the lower 48 and throughout Alaska, the UA system, have had to meet for quality of education, student outcomes, and success rates.
So in closing, are there some things that you want to get out there of immediate interest to the public, because we are coming up on another school year in a month?
Yes, so the first day of class for the fall semester is August 29th. Registration is open for any type of course that you might want to be interested in. If you are a brand new student who doesn't know where to start, contact UAS campus. If you're interested in talking with me in particular, you can reach me in Sitka at 907-747-7777. All the sevens, pretty much. And I can help make sure that you get connected with the appropriate program, or can talk through some of the options that you're considering. A lot of what we do as academic advisors is help get students started and help them identify what classes they need to take in order to get the ball rolling, as it were.
And I bet you know where pots of money are that could help people finance their education.
Yes, and we are definitely student-centered advocates for students. Whenever we see opportunities to assist students, we, as the advisors, are going to the appropriate offices to campaign for them and to see what we can find. That's one of the benefits of going to a smaller school like UAS, is you really get to develop those relationships with your students and your coworkers and for students peer-to-peer, even if you're online, you really do feel that there is a real person on the other side of the phone or the other side of the computer who is invested in your success and hears you when you may be having a difficult time and wants to be there for you to make sure that you get through it together.
Katie, I can tell you are passionate about this. Well, Amy, in closing, any thoughts to potential students out there?
Yeah, we'd love to talk with anyone. Visit us online, uas.alaska.edu. It goes over all of our health programs and career education options to get you trained up and get a credential that you can immediately go to work. And if you have any specific questions about medical assisting or health education programs, you can give me a call or email me directly. Thanks so much for having us.
Yes, it seems like we barely scratched the surface, but it sounds like there's a lot of opportunity there. I want to thank both of you for pointing the way to some possibilities for people. Amy Samuel, she is the Health Sciences Associate Professor and Medical Assisting Program Director. And we also have Katie Sill, who is the Sitka Campus Academic Advisor for UAS. Thanks so much.
Thank you.